You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
With 50,000 watts of political talk all across the New England area, you are tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. And we're joined on the phone by Ben Howe. Ben Howe is a writer and filmmaker and the president of Howe Creative and also an author for Red State. Good morning, Mr. Howe. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Hey, thanks for taking some time out of your Sunday morning to join us here on All Politics is Local. You have been very outspoken about your stance on Donald Trump. Why don't you tell the listening audience what you're trying to do and your thoughts?
Sure. Well, you know, when Never Trump sort of became the mantra, I think that there were two factions inside it. One was I'll never vote for Trump, and one was I can never allow Trump to be president. I fell more into the I can never allow Trump to be president, at least whatever power I have over that, I'm going to try to exert. So once it became clear that he was the nominee, I felt like I only had a couple of choices. I could abstain from voting completely, which I don't feel like would necessarily accomplish that much, or I could actively work against him, which I have chosen to do. This is a default pro-Hillary position, simply because if you help one, you hurt the other. If you hurt one, you help the other. Which I can live with. I'm hoping a third-party candidate emerges that I can believe in that can still hurt Trump. But if it comes down to it and my state is competitive, I will do whatever it takes to stop him.
Well, do you realistically see a third-party candidate, a viable third-party candidate, getting into the race this late? I mean, it's already mid-May.
I think viable will be a unique word this season, because viable to me doesn't necessarily mean they win the election. Viable to me means they help save what's left of the brand of conservatism while preventing Donald Trump from co-opting the entire movement.
So you must really hate Donald Trump to be willing to let Hillary Clinton be president.
Yeah, well, this is the way that I've explained it, which doesn't always, you know, it still results in people calling me a traitor and all kinds of other, you know, people screaming Benghazi in my face and things like that. My view is we've got two people, both of which I don't believe that I will get any policy agreement out of. I don't believe there's any part of Donald Trump's presidency or Hillary Clinton's presidency that will make me go, oh, good, I'm glad they're president. So if that's not even on the table, then it starts to come down to things like, is the person a psychopath? And in a lot of ways, I think Trump is.
I think Hillary is.
Well, Hillary may be, but
or a sociopath, actually.
Hillary gets to be a sociopath wearing the jersey of my opposition. Donald Trump wears the jersey of my team and claims to be the standard bearer of conservatism. So to me, if either person is going to hurt the country, but only one of them is going to do it while saying they represent me, I'd rather it be the other team.
So who out of all of the people in America that have leadership ability would you choose to be your standard bearer?
You mean going forward?
I mean, if you were able to pick the next president of the United States, who would that person be?
Do they have to still be eligible? Because mine would
No. Let's just say all rules off, and the United States, every voter in the United States says, let's leave it up to you.
Uh-huh.
Who would you choose to be the next president of the United States?
Ted Cruz.
Okay.
So, Mr. We're speaking with Ben Howe from Howe Creative and author at Red State. Let's just take a half a step back and put everything back in a little bit of context. Tell us about why you don't like Trump, and then most importantly, you describe yourself as a true conservative. Tell the listening audience, you know, a little bit of background on all of that.
Okay, well, with my dislike of Trump, first, I didn't dislike or dislike him prior to 2011. Prior to 2011, he was another celebrity. Maybe he'd say something outlandish. Maybe I think it was funny. It didn't really matter. When we were starting to look at who could run against Barack Obama, and it was a really important election, he was the first one to really start getting news as a potential candidate. And he did this by launching a birther, investigation. And I think making a little bit of a joke of the whole process. I started to dislike him around that time, but I also thought, you know, this is a guy that is just wanting attention. He's just a salesman or a huckster or whatever you want to call it. But after that, he started appearing on Fox News a lot to offer sort of a conservative view on things. He started appearing at CPAC regularly. I couldn't tell if he had a following or not, or if he was just paying his way into these places. But I didn't like that this person, based on how he talks, what he says, how quickly he changes his positions, how childish he acts when called out, how he seems to almost believe anything he says, even if it's incredibly obvious that what he's saying isn't true. I started to get really disturbed at the idea that this guy was part of our movement, I guess. And a bunch of other people did, too. And it became sort of an ongoing argument on the right about whether or not he was legitimately part of what we were all trying to do. When he started running in 2015, I got really worried because I saw so many people propping him up as a genuine candidate. But I still thought this is just a huckster and a salesman and so on. It wasn't until I saw his personality sort of unfold in real time in the debate process, and when he would have to answer questions to the media and he was going after every single person that even mildly objected to him, that I became fearful of him winning. And I was never under any illusion that he couldn't win. I'm still not under any illusion that he couldn't win. I believe he absolutely could win the presidency. And I, you know, after all of that time, it became clear to me that if he became the president, he would define conservatism for at least 4 years, if not 8 years. And I don't know that we can repair the damage that he does. He's already done damage just being a candidate. Now when he's the nominee, he's going to do even more. So at the end of 4 years of either a President Hillary or a President Clinton or a President Trump, I feel like we'll be in a bad position no matter what. The question is, are we going to be in a recoverable position? And I believe we're in a more recoverable position if he's not president.
Well, let me ask you this question. We're a conservative talk show in the state of Massachusetts, so some people say, how does that happen?
We're minorities.
We're certainly minorities, but I am a card-carrying member of the Charlie Baker fan club. Charlie Baker is the governor of Massachusetts, one of the most popular politicians in the United States, and has been outwardly spoken that he is not supporting Donald Trump either. But I look at it, and some people in Massachusetts say, well, Charlie Baker's not conservative enough. Okay, maybe he's not as conservative as I am, or maybe he's not as conservative as you is, but he's a damn good governor. Why can't, he's doing a good job. I don't think Donald Trump is a conservative. I don't. But he is the presumptive Republican nominee. So I just look at any effort. Donald Trump wasn't my first choice. He's not my second. He's probably not even my third choice. But he's better than Hillary Clinton as president of the United States in my mind. But you're willing to say that the conservative party has to elect Hillary Clinton to save the conservative party? Is that what I'm getting?
Here's the issue. You're talking about somebody, Charlie Baker, more conservative or less conservative, Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, all these people, you can gauge, are they more conservative, are they less conservative? That's not really the issue here with Trump.
Okay.
Trump isn't more or less conservative. He's not more or less liberal. He does not hold real beliefs. He simply tries to win whatever he believes is going to make him look best, and this has been proven over and over throughout the election cycle and over throughout his career. He flip-flops back and forth, not because he's worried about whether or not a position is going to resonate with the conservative movement. He doesn't change his mind because he hopes that a policy is going to now work better if he shifts on it. He simply says whatever he needs to say at any given moment. So if we've got this guy...
But doesn't Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders?
No, Barack Obama, they are committed ideologues. Hillary Clinton is the closest to what I'm talking about out of everyone. But Bernie Sanders, he's a complete ideologue. Barack Obama, we've given him a lot of crap because we don't like what his policy prescriptions are. But to call him an unsuccessful president, he successfully implemented liberalism more than any president previously in the last at least 30 years.
That's fair.
So yeah, I'll agree with you on that, yeah.
I don't like what he did, but he succeeded at it. And I don't think that it produces a good result for America, but it is what he wanted to do. Now, when you've got a guy like Donald Trump, who I think is going to depress the vote down ticket, who's going to help us lose seats in the Senate, who's going to help us lose seats in the House, and not because we're fractured. If we unified around Trump, I think we would lose more seats in the Senate than if we didn't, because that is how damaging his brand is. He does not come across to the American people, not only not as genuine, but as anything other than self-interested, and I think that's an accurate viewpoint of him. And if he were president and the standard bearer of conservatism, for the next 4 years, we're going to either have to spend that time opposing our own party or opposing our normally opposed party, and I choose to oppose Hillary Clinton over trying to oppose the GOP for the next 4 years.
What is the feedback you get around the office? And we want to talk a little bit about Red State. I mean, when you come out with this, and you know, you probably have conservative friends or Republican friends. I mean, what are they telling you? Hey, Ben, you're crazy. Hey, Ben, go get them. What are you getting?
There's a couple of different types of feedback. Some people, and I would say it depends on who's saying it to me, what I think about it. So, like, when somebody who has a fairly large microphone says to me, "I'm never Trump and never Hillary," my opinion is you can't really do that. And I mean, these people who have large microphones, the moment that they offer criticism of Trump, they're helping Hillary. So to me, I have felt like I'm just trying to be honest here. I don't have any illusions about whether or not what I'm doing is helping Hillary. They understand that, but they just can't bring themselves to pull the lever. I get it. The feedback on social media and in email has been a mixture of "you're my hero" and "I hope you die in a gas chamber."
Okay. Well, take them off your Christmas card list, I would think.
I don't think they have gas chambers in the United States anymore.
No, I heard the outlaw, but we'll see.
So, I mean, where do you see your anybody but Trump movement going from here, forward? I mean, you have things planned for the convention in Cleveland? I mean, what's the game plan?
I don't have anything specific planned yet, mostly because it's been so recent. For the last at least week, and it's funny, like a lot of people were accusing me of, you're doing this just to get attention. I was on Blaze TV with Dana when he announced, and I was on a panel every day saying the exact same thing I'm saying now. I wrote an article in January saying that I would do exactly what I'm doing now if he was going to be the nominee. I believe that I'm being consistent, and I believe that over the next 6 months, people are going to want to rally around consistency. And that's not going to be me. It's going to be someone, hopefully, but they're going to want to rally around consistency and something that they can trust. I'm shocked, frankly, that after 8 to 9 years of the Tea Party and having it so be embodied in a candidate like Ted Cruz, that we still managed to pick the wrong person, even the base. And look, this isn't sour grapes about Ted Cruz. I actually voted for Marco Rubio in South Carolina because I was that committed to stopping Trump. I felt like Marco Rubio needed the vote in South Carolina more than Ted Cruz.
Well, let me ask you this then. What are you going to do if tomorrow morning, newsflash, breaking news comes up, Donald Trump announces Ted Cruz as his vice president candidate? What are you going to do then?
I will probably be very, very disappointed in Ted Cruz. I think most people in the party who feel like they want to do more than what they're doing now are tending to stay away from endorsing Trump. At most, they'll say something like, I'm not going to get in the way, but I'm not going to help. I would be shocked if after the things that Trump said about Cruz's wife, that he would go and endorse him after that. I can't picture it happening. But if it did, I think it would speak to Cruz's character.
Well, I mean, in politics, I mean, to get to be a United States senator or get to be a presidential candidate, I don't think ego is the biggest thing, but it's a big thing. And if you're a heartbeat away from being the president, you know, of the United States or, you know, leader of the free world, you know, it's going to be hard to not take that opportunity. So, I mean, is Trump smart in calling a Marco Rubio or a Ted Cruz and saying, hey, you want to be my vice president?
Oh, I think he's already asked both of them.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. And I think Marco said no way. I think Nikki Haley already said no way. I don't know if Cruz said no way or if he threw out a bunch of cuss words first, but I feel pretty confident that he is not going to take that even if it's offered. Trump thinks that everything he did and everything he has said, that people just need to get over it and move on, because he looks at this as a winning-losing scenario. You know, we win if you rally around me, we lose if you don't. And he doesn't think about anybody who might have principles that could get in the way of supporting him. He just thinks in terms of winning and losing, because that's how he's lived his whole life. And I think that people like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, who I believe have a genuine desire for the country to succeed and for conservatism to be the way that happens, I believe both of them know that if we can weather the storm of a 6 months of him being the nominee and then not have him be president, not have him define conservatism for the next 4 years, we could be at a rebirth of conservatives in office that are not only beholden to what the Tea Party, which I was a part of, has to say. I mean, the unification has been against Trump, not with him. I go on Twitter right now, and I'm called both a conservative purist and a rhino. I mean, how did that world happen? Those were two very opposite worlds, and they have merged now. So I think there could be a bright future if we're smart about it, and we don't just say this is a normal election cycle. It's not. The rules have been rewritten, and we need to be realistic about that.
You're tuned to All Politics Local here on WCRN 830. We're speaking with Ben Howe from Howe Creative and an author with Red State. We had Lou Dobbs on our program last week, and our co-host Terry here, he brought up a good point, is that the country is still strong enough to survive the 8 years of a Barack Obama presidency. But Lou Dobbs brought up the point, well, you know, that's true if we didn't have to survive 8 years of the Bush administration and 8 years of the Clinton administration. I feel that the country is at a vital point in our history. I feel that we're becoming, I mean, 8 years ago, Barack Obama didn't have the political courage to run as a socialist. Yet now we have a socialist running for the president of the United States, and he's winning primaries left and right. This country is swinging socialism. It's been proven through the world's history, socialism doesn't work. I feel if we elect Hillary Clinton, we're going to continue down that slope. And my children, and it's, I know it's rhetoric, my children, my grandchildren are not going to grow up in the country that I grew up in. Does not Donald Trump give us the best chance to stop that?
No, I believe actually he destroys the one chance that we did have. I think that Donald Trump is so destructive to the one real opposition. The one real opposition to socialism in today's political climate is capitalism and free markets and so on. And he's actually literally said that he's against free trade. He's come out and said that he's for the minimum wage. I mean, these are just the positions that he's flipped on in the first few days of his nomination. So if he reads the tea leaves and the tea leaves tell him most people want more government, what do you think he'll do? He'll do more government. And then what will happen? People will say, well, what's the difference between conservatism and socialism? It's all big government.
I'm not buying that at all. Donald Trump belongs to the GED, the Get Her Done Club, and I don't think he believes in more government is going to get the job done and done well and done quickly and done.
What possible evidence is there of that? Number one, he said national health care was a good thing. Number two, he has benefited off of the government more than any person I've seen running for president. He openly admits it. He's a flat-out crony. He does not give any indication that taxes are even something that he's remotely worried about working on in any way. And in spite of his business acumen, he's more than happy to do something as destructive as raising the minimum wage, and this is all within the first few days of his nomination. There's zero evidence other than the fact that he's the GOP nominee that he would do anything conservative. I mean, his life hasn't even lent itself to that concept. He's just come in and said that that's what he's going to do. And if you go back through his history and you look at his salesmanship, that's what he does for a living, is try to convince people that that's what he's going to do. But whether or not he actually does it is always a different story with him. So what I think we're doing by nominating and much less electing a guy like Donald Trump is exactly the kind of nonsense we did when we did the bank bailout and when we did the GM bailout, which is we're taking the principles of conservatism and we're frying them in a saucepan. I mean, Bush said the word, Bush, who I don't think many people would argue is at least more conservative than people perceive Trump to be. And he said, I had to abandon the free market in order to save it. What did that do to us? What did that do to our ability to make our case? How many times have you been in an argument with someone who said, well, you were the guys that had all this debt. You were the guys that had all these deficits. What credibility do you have on this issue? We don't have any. And we'll have even less if we get a crony, lying sociopath to be our standard bearer.
You mean Hillary?
Well, if Hillary,
I thought you just described Hillary.
Not part of my party. I can at least say, well, that doesn't hurt my credibility because Hillary Clinton is a Democrat. We're talking about conservatives and Republicans. Hillary Clinton has never claimed to be a conservative.
Well,
if somebody was to say to me, well, Hillary Clinton did this, I'd be like, yeah, I know, I hate her.
Well, you remind me of a friend of mine who was a platoon leader in Vietnam. And he was about to be overrun by the Viet Cong, and he called artillery fire in on his position. And luckily, as the initial round started to fall, the Viet Cong retreated, and he was able to call a ceasefire and survive. But you're reminding me of that because I don't think we'll have an opportunity to call ceasefire because if Hillary Clinton's elected, she will also get to choose probably four or five Supreme Court justices. So her form of liberalism and socialism.
I think 4 or 5 is a big stretch.
Really?
At most, she's going to have this one, which is a surprise, but Scalia's seat, which is a huge disappointment for me. But the other two, perhaps, that would retire during her presidency are most likely going to be swaps of liberals anyway. None of the conservative justices are going to drop out. So. We do stand a huge chance of losing a seat on the Supreme Court that will impact us for decades. And I don't have any illusions about that either.
Right.
The problem is that, to me, the die has already been cast. I'm no longer making decisions based on the Supreme Court because we've already lost it.
We're speaking with Ben Howe from Howe Creative in Red State. Mr. Howe, I don't want to take up all of your time on a Sunday morning, but can we hold you through the news break? We got a couple callers that might. Would you be interested in doing that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great. Like
if
I said,
it's anything like my mail, I'm just interested to see what it sounds like.
No, okay. No. We're speaking with Ben Howe, author from Red State. You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830. We're going to take some calls. We've got a couple calls on the line. John from Worcester, you're going to be first when we get back. It is the bottom of the hour. Like I said, let's get on top of things with CBS News. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830.